from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Is California a job creator or a job killer? Federal figures show we led the nation in new jobs last year, but depending on who you ask, that is either a result of California's great business climate or a result of efforts not to make it worse. The Chamber of Commerce is advocating openly to kill bills at the state capitol that it believes would scare businesses away. What's working and what's not in keeping the job market strong? And for that matter, why are so many Californians still struggling to find work? In this hour, we'll dig into the latest numbers and hear from both sides. Job creation in California, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. Good morning. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News, sitting in for Michael Krasny. The only reason California is a state is because there are jobs here. The gold rush began in 1848, sending thousands of people west to find their fortunes. 2 years later, Congress granted statehood. Every time California led or pioneered another industry, finance, high tech, agriculture, entertainment, more job seekers came. These days, many Californians are unemployed, but the state is also getting a lot of new jobs, more than any other state last year, according to the federal government. But could we be getting even more if things were different? Some say California's patchwork of laws and business regulations is so cumbersome that companies would rather go to Florida or Texas. In this hour of Forum, we'll explore what it takes to create jobs, especially for those who need them most. And we'll get opinions from all sides, including yours, on what California should be doing to keep the economy strong. First, let's get a perspective from the governor's office. Joining us by phone now is Kish Rajan. He is the director of GoBiz, the governor's office of business and economic development. Before that, he was a member of the Walnut Creek City Council. Kish Rajan, welcome to Forum.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says that from last January to this past January, California added about 500,000 jobs. That is the most in the nation during that time. Previously, it looked like Texas led the way, but when the Bureau double-checked its numbers, California came out on top. What do you think are the one or two strongest reasons why this is happening?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we are very gratified that they took another look at the numbers and knew what we know, which is California is leading the nation in job growth. I think there are a few things. I think it mostly that the governor's policies are working. You know, there's three things that he's been concentrating on that are having a real impact. Fiscal stability in Sacramento. Two is indeed working on improving the regulatory climate to make it easier to do business in our state. And three is smart, targeted incentives that reinforce California's competitiveness. I think those three things in combination are improving California's business climate, improving investor confidence, and that's why you see us leading the nation in job creation.
So fiscal stability, making regulations less cumbersome, and creating good incentives. Are there any one of those that you think seems to be the most crucial, or are they all kind of three that work in concert?
I really think they all work together. I think the fiscal stability thing is so important. Recall, it's only been a few years ago that California's state budget deficit was at $27 billion and not great prospects to turn that around. But the governor's leadership, supported by the legislature, turned that huge deficit into real surpluses. And then the voters took a great step to create that rainy day fund so we could put money away during good times. That really inspires business leaders to say, you know, California is on a great track of responsible governance. That gives us confidence to invest here. Now, if you just make it easier to do business by making regulations more streamlined, improve technology so that it's easier for us to get into compliance, and in certain circumstances, if you give us some additional incentives to really round out the business case, I think those things are working together in a really effective way, and that's why these economic results are so strong.
Now, some of these figures are not terribly surprising. I mean, the top three states for new jobs were California, Texas, and Florida, which are three big population centers. Is this just a function more broadly of big states seeing big growth and small states seeing small or no growth?
I don't think it's quite that simple, but there's no doubt that for California, we're benefiting because of our size, because of our scale, right? We are, we just passed Brazil to become the seventh largest economy in the world. It's our gross state product is over $2.2 trillion. And underneath that, and I think this is something that distinguishes us from those states you mentioned or any other state in the nation, is that we have such breadth of our economy. You know, under that $2.2 trillion gross state product, California leads the nation in economic output across a whole range of sectors: manufacturing, information technology, biotechnology, film and entertainment, travel and tourism, agriculture, and others. We're the nation's leader in output. I think it's that breadth of economy, different sectors, that allows us to build on a very solid foundation, and I think that's what's helping to drive this overall growth.
Now, unemployment in California is 6.9%, according to the latest numbers. That is the fifth worst in the country, behind Louisiana, Mississippi, Nevada, and the highest unemployment rate, Washington, D.C., at 7.7%. So we're creating a lot of jobs, but we also have a lot of people not working. What should we do about that?
There's no question that we have much more work to do. You know, that unemployment rate, recall just a few years ago, was all the way up at 12.2%. So the fact that we've brought it all the way down to 6.9 is a tremendous move in the right direction. So we're very pleased that it's moving very steadily in the right direction. But there's no question we have a lot more to do. You know, in my job, I travel all around California. I get to see the wonderful diversity that exists, the diversity of our economic regions, and it's a wonderful sight to see. But what I do also recognize, and the governor understands, is that this big change to a whole new economy, an information technology, knowledge-based economy, not only are we a global leader in that, but we also have to recognize how many of our fellow Californians have worked in the traditional sort of industrial-based economy that's changing all around the world. So we have to make investments in workforce development. We have to make investments in infrastructure. We have to continue to build on our strengths to ensure that we're broadening prosperity so that all Californians have an opportunity to succeed. Governor Brown's determined to make sure that we're doing that, and that's why we know we have a lot of work still to do.
And finally, what is your top piece of advice for anyone who's looking to start a business in California, regardless of what kind of business it is? If they're kind of looking at California like, I think that might be where I want to put down stakes, give me your number one suggestion for them.
My first suggestion would be to do it, because because they can join millions of other people, millions of businesses across our state that are thriving. Certainly seek out our office at GoBiz. Seek out your regional or local small business development center or chamber of commerce or other business association, because we've created tremendous resources. That's a big area of focus for us, is to make sure that that aspiring business owner can find the resources, the tools that they need to get the support that's necessary to take their dream and make it real. But I would say that still in California, it's clear that if you dream to do something big, this is the place to get it done. So come on out. We'll make it easy for you.
And the website for your agency is business.ca.gov, right?
That's it. Thanks, Joshua.
Kish Rajan is the director of GoBiz, the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development. Once again, that website is business.ca.gov. Kish, I appreciate your time. Thanks for talking to us.
Hey, it was great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Let's continue the conversation with our panel for the hour. Joining us by phone is Stephen Levy. He is the director and senior economist at the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy, an independent research group based in Palo Alto. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
Here in the studio with me is Jim Wunderman. He is the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council, a regional advocacy group sponsored by business interests. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
And also on the phone is Susan Frank. She is the director of the California Business Alliance for a Clean Economy, an advocacy group that promotes eco-friendly policies. Susan, glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Stephen Levy, let me start with you. What do you make of these latest jobs reports? What's going on in California right now to make these numbers what they are?
Kish laid out a few points. Let me add a couple of others. Last year, California got almost 60% of national venture capital funding. The Bay Area alone got half, one out of every $2. Southern California set a record in tourism. The L.A. International Airport set a record in takeoffs and landings. The big revision that we're talking about here was not about tech in the Bay Area, but was about Southern California coming back. It was about adding jobs in education, hiring back teachers, which ties to the tax increases we passed a couple of years ago and to the strong economy. And one other thing that no one seems to mention but is very real when I look at the economy, we benefit from being a welcoming state. We welcome talent. We don't select people based on their religious or sexual orientation or where they came from. We're much more of a meritocracy. And so despite a tax increase in 2012, despite a minimum wage increase last year, despite the beginning of a cap-and-trade auction program that was bitterly fought, we added almost a million jobs in 2 years, took 500,000 people off the unemployment roll, and are doing quite well. As you'll find out when we get to discussion, there are problems, but we even disagree about what the problems are. So yeah. This is a good news story of a state that's on a comeback.
It certainly seems so, Stephen. We'll get into more of those factors as the hour goes on. Jim Wunderman, how is California doing in helping businesses do what they do? Is this a good state to bring jobs to right now?
Well, I think we should celebrate. We have a lot of challenges, and California has done some really good things. And what Kish said about the governor's leadership is no small item. Just remember where we were a few years ago, and we've really turned that around. And folks all over, including business leaders, have taken notice. But, you know, just focusing on the Bay Area for a moment, you know, imagine what it looks like from the rest of the country if you're in Detroit or even Boston or New York to see companies like Apple and Facebook and Google and Salesforce developing new world headquarters in the Bay Area.
This kind of looks like the land of Oz from some other markets.
And, you know, we have a lot of challenges, but these are what other folks would find to be really good problems to have. And you know, I'm sure we'll get into talking about those challenges. I think as a state, we're doing very, very well. We are. There's a whole number of features, and you know, Steve talked about what some of those are that attract people and business and talent and investment to come to California. We do remain, we believe, to be a state that is still overregulated and also has a tendency to heap on regulations, especially during good times. So we think that you know, there's a number of bills kicking around the legislature right now that concern us. And, you know, this is – I hate to make a football analogy, but, you know, for those of your listeners who watch football, you know, it's a game of momentum swings. And, you know, when you've got momentum, you don't want to be kicking field goals. You want to be scoring touchdowns, not 3 points but seven. And it's always a little ominous when you kick the field goals. We need to attract as much business and as many jobs into the state now while we have momentum as we can, because the times won't always be like this.
Susan Frank, what do you make of the argument about California's rules and regulations, some of them making it harder for businesses to create jobs here? I mean, this state is a pretty big bureaucracy. It's a state of 37 million people. How are we doing in that regard?
Well, you know, Joshua, it's interesting. Having been in the Chamber of Commerce world quite a while ago, but for about a decade, I know what it's like to need to talk to businesses about regulation and being concerned about them. And I think Jim made a strong case and works with a lot of companies that can speak to that. I do want to say, though, that I think it is California is really is doing so much to address climate change. And I actually think that is another reason that Kish didn't mention for why companies are choosing to locate here. So while on one level you could argue that there's a regulatory climate that's challenging, at the same time, companies are choosing to come to California because of our regulatory climate. We have so many examples of companies that have opened here, that have started here, that have invested here, that are manufacturing here, and that are not being scared off by the regulations. Companies like Propel in Redwood City that came to California because of AB 32 and now is providing, you know, a renewable fuel to drivers on the road. So again, example after example of companies that are choosing California as a place to do business because of the regulatory climate. So I could go on, but I'll stop there for and give you more examples later.
Yeah, we'll have much more time to talk about this. And just for those who do not know, AB 32 is a law that requires California to lower its emissions levels by the end of this decade. And there are a lot of components that are kind of built into AB 32. We're discussing job creation in California with Susan Frank of the California Business Alliance for a Clean Economy, Jim Wunderman of the Bay Area Council, and Stephen Levy of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. We would like to discuss this with you, too. If you're a business owner or a business manager, how confident are you about hiring more people, if at all? If you are working, how do you feel about your prospects of either keeping your job or getting a better one? And if you're looking for work, what kinds of challenges are you facing that maybe the state and local and county governments, or even just the business community, could do something about? Join the conversation. Call us. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Email us. The address is forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. Jim Wunderman, let's talk about ways to create jobs. If the members of the Bay Area Council had their way, how would they make California's business climate more conducive to job growth? Give me the top two or three ideas.
Well, the first thing would be to revise the California Environmental Quality Act. So this is a law that was passed back in 1970.
CEQA, right.
For short. And it basically is an extremely onerous law that has been added onto over the decades, which make it very, very difficult for companies to make the kind of investments, for example, if you're in manufacturing, to get a plan up or, in fact, to build housing. There was a report last week by the legislative analyst, independent analyst Mac Taylor, really condemning CEQA for the increased cost to housing that are contributing to poverty around the state. And I would urge your listeners to get a hold of that report. We believe that, for example, and Susan makes a great point about the clean economy, the company Tesla, which was formed in the Bay Area as a game-breaking kind of company, tested the waters of leaving California. We helped convince them to take the NUMMI plant, which was a partnership between GM and Toyota, which closed partly due to the cost of operating in California. They took that site and built their factory there. But when it came to the next phase to build their new battery plant, not only for automobiles but for other industries in the future, they chose to go to another state, Nevada, right outside California. And it was largely due to California's regulatory environment. That's thousands of jobs, middle-class jobs that we need that could have been in our state. So that is CEQA. Could be changed slightly, just the way it operates on the standard that make it so easy for just a single plaintiff to delay a major investment to the point where, it, in many cases, it just doesn't pencil out to do the project anymore, be it a commercial application or housing.
I'm so glad to see that the phones have already lit up. The split second I gave the phone number, all five lines lit up. So I'm looking forward to getting into calls and emails in just a minute. Stephen Levy, what does the research show us about how various kinds of state policies help or hurt job creation? Give us a really quick primer on what we know helps and what we know hurts.
Sure. Having enough housing helps. So I want to talk with Jim a little bit more because they really are keyed in on housing as a challenge. I mean, how can Google and Twitter continue to hire if even their top people can't get housing? Transportation, other infrastructure is a challenge. We are a world-class economy, so we have to offer people world-class transportation, world-class infrastructure, education, schools are important. We're trying to attract people here. They need to be able to feel that any school they send their children to is good. And I'll go back to the welcoming attitude. There's a big deal about taxes and regulation, and I don't want to disagree with Jim, but the point of this job surge is that all those charges made against California, minimum wages killed jobs, taxes killed jobs, air quality regulations killed jobs, are now just demonstrably overblown by the million jobs that we added. I think the real challenges are housing, transportation, infrastructure, education, and maintaining a welcoming attitude.
Susan Frank, give me your top two or three ideas for maybe environmental or eco-friendly policies that could create some jobs. I know that CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, is going to be a topic this hour, I'm sure, in terms of the way that different business interests view them. Do you think that CEQA reform is kind of one of those big, big things that we need to be doing right away to build to create more jobs, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I think there's more to it than that. I think that CEQA has been a conversation, a debate for many years. I imagine the debate and conversation will continue. I think what we have to look at, and I think Steve said it best, is what's actually happening even with the regulatory environment that we have. You know, Jim, whose organization, Bay Area Council, has been a really strong supporter of climate progress in California, so I want to acknowledge that. You know, everyone likes to point to the gigafactory that Tesla built in Nevada, but, you know, Tesla's actually the largest car manufacturer in California. They employ thousands of people throughout the state, including blue-collar jobs in Fremont and Lathrop. Look at the solar industry, which now is actually employing more people than investor-owned utilities. Ford Motor Company opened up a research center in Palo Alto. Orange County's got a company that's bringing in long-haul trucking and hundreds of employees and millions in revenue. You know, there's just, again, these companies, despite CEQA, despite a regulatory environment, are not shying away from coming to California, from being in California. Companies like Genentech, it just invested $250 million in expanding their biotech manufacturing operation. So it's research, it's manufacturing, it's people, it's trucks. You know, so far it just doesn't seem to, the evidence doesn't seem to suggest that while there might be some tinkering that needs to be done, that for the most part, our regulatory environment is doing pretty well.
We're coming up on a break in a few minutes, and we're going to get to calls on the other side. But Stephen Levy, I want to put one email question to you. Matthew writes, the guest really didn't address whether the job growth is a function of size. What was the per capita job growth? How does that compare with other states? Stephen, briefly, if you could, do you know what the proportional job growth was like?
California jobs increased by 3.2%. The national increase was 2.3%. So we were almost 50% faster than the nation. There are some states that did better, like North Dakota with the short shale oil boom. So we're doing better on a per capita basis than the nation, and we're not the top state on a per capita basis.
Gotcha. We are coming up on a break. We are going to go to calls thereafter. The lines are full, but feel free to keep calling in 866-733-6786 or definitely email us. The address is forum@kqed.org. Denise and Ram and Amy and Ann and Dan, please do stay on the line. We're coming to you just ahead. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about creating jobs in California. We're speaking with Susan Frank of the California Business Alliance for a Clean Economy, Jim Wunderman of the Bay Area Council, and Stephen Levy of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News. Glad to be with you today. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News, sitting in for Michael Krasny. We're discussing job creation in California with Susan Frank of the California Business Alliance for a Clean Economy, Jim Wunderman of the Bay Area Council, and Stephen Levy of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. We welcome your questions and thoughts. Feel free to call us 866-733-6786. Email us forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. We're going to add one more voice to the conversation in just a moment, but first I want to get to our first phone call, beginning with Dan in San Francisco. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the program. I just had a comment, and I'll be curious to see what your guests, what their opinions on it are. But I help run a small business in San Francisco, which is new. We employ about 50 people. And I hear a lot of talk about bringing in large companies into the Bay Area, which obviously is great, but I wonder if we're sacrificing focusing on some small businesses. In San Francisco in particular, it seems like every week you're hearing about another iconic small business that's forced out by a larger company. And, you know, the landscape's changing, and, you know, creation of jobs is great, but also retaining the ones that we have here is equally as important. And just one other final thing. I'm curious to know. I know we're really focused on bringing in big companies. We really throw a lot of incentives at them. I don't see those same incentives for small business. For us in particular, we paid some extremely high fees to just open a business in the city. So, you know, I'll take my comments off the air, but just maybe that dichotomy of the small business, big business in the city.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dan. Thanks for calling in. Jim Wunderman, what do you make of that?
Well, I think he's right. There tends to be more focus on large companies, who major employers, but most of the jobs actually come from small business, and some of those turn into big business. And we need to have better policies in place to, A, encourage small business, and not to heap so many costs and taxes on them that we lose job opportunities in some businesses that could make it end up not doing so. So I think the caller makes a good point.
Let's add another voice to the conversation, specifically about manufacturing jobs. Joining us on the phone is Dorothy Rothrock. She is the Vice President of Government Relations for the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. We'll go to Dorothy in just a minute. But first, let's go back to the phones with Denise in Oakland. Denise, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Joshua?
I'm well. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
I am Denise Williams, and I'm the founder of Working Moms in 20s. It's basically an organization that's ran and operated by women in Generation Y. So we want to speak from a Generation Y perspective about issues that affect our community. And I do own and operate out of California. One of my biggest challenges is when I go into these startup tech forums and lots of forums for new businesses, the main emphasis are on tech industry. I think California has been followed as a whole as a tech industry, particularly as the Bay, in the Bay Area. So I'm wondering, how can we reshift the focus and value other businesses, especially women-owned businesses and young businesses?
Denise, that's a good question. Susan Frank, can I put that to you?
The woman on the panel.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it like that.
No, it's okay. I appreciate the question, and I think it's a good one. You know, and I want to go back to the previous caller, the comment really in the same vein around small companies. You know, most of the business members in my network are mostly small mainstream companies and women-owned companies, florists and mattress shops and coffee shops and professionals and such. And a couple things. One is, I think there is a benefit to small service businesses in the form of increased revenues from efficiency. And we know the data right now suggests that as energy efficiency policies are adopted, there's going to be opportunities for small businesses to take advantage of that. The other thing I would say is that large companies have to purchase products from typically small businesses. There's a company in Poway, California called TransPower, and they're supporting the local economy through the purchase of motors and batteries and inverters. For Denise, I would say, you know, there are opportunities to engage with other women business owners in, you know, NABO-type organizations and others, and perhaps we could connect offline. I might be able to connect her to a few of those groups.
I'm sorry, NABO? What's that?
It's the National Association of Women Business Owners. There are chapters around the state. Sorry for the acronym.
That's all right.
There are other organizations, and even your local Chamber of Commerce might have a women in business program that you could connect with as well.
We'll get back to the phone calls in just a minute. But first, now let's go to Dorothy Rothrock of the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. It's a public policy group that advocates for manufacturing, processing, and tech businesses. Dorothy, welcome to Forum.
Thank you for having me.
What do you think of California's climate for manufacturing jobs? Is this state really sending jobs away and repelling employers, or are we on somewhat the right track?
I think we could be doing a whole lot better. And, of course, having a healthy manufacturing economy is important because these are the high-wage jobs that we need. One of the things that concerns us is since the recession, we've gained jobs that pay on an average of about $50,000, but we've lost a lot of jobs that average $74,000. And we're seeing that since the recession, manufacturing in the U.S. is coming back at a rate of over 7%, whereas in California, it's only less than 2%. So if we're going to deal with issues like income inequality and making sure that people have an opportunity to get to the middle class, it's going to be important for us to do a better job for manufacturing.
Give me your take on what you think California's biggest strength is right now in the manufacturing sector and what you think is its biggest weakness specifically.
Yeah, the biggest strength is that we have the ports and we have a history of innovation in California that is absolutely tremendous. And I give manufacturers a lot of the credit for that because manufacturers are responsible for nearly 70% of all the R&D that's spent in the economy. Part of the challenge going forward is we have extraordinarily high costs of doing business, and we have a very uncertain and, I would argue, burdensome regulatory environment. And that does scare off investment, particularly for manufacturers who really need a long-term time horizon to get a payout from their investments. So they need predictability and they need costs that make sense for their product developments.
You know, a lot of the attention these days is focused on clean energy manufacturing, solar cells and electric cars and so on. Last month, you issued a statement expressing concern that the green energy bill proposed by Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon would allow other states to undercut us, basically, and take jobs away from California. And you want manufacturing growth to be a goal of California's climate package. How do those two things intersect?
Thank you for asking that question, because I do believe that growing manufacturing is completely consistent and actually will reinforce our climate goals, because to the extent production happens anywhere in the world, it should happen in California because we have the cleanest electricity and energy system. So rather than importing goods from China or other place where they use coal for their electricity, we should be making and purchasing California-made products that have a lower carbon content. And no one really disagrees with this. The challenge is trying to figure out how you make energy prices and other policies in California affordable for manufacturing. Right now, electricity rates for California manufacturers are 70% higher than the national average, which does scare off a lot of electricity or a lot of manufacturers who depend on energy for their production.
Dorothy Rothrock is the Vice President of Government Relations for the California Manufacturers and Technology Association, a public policy group that advocates for manufacturing, processing, and tech businesses. Dorothy, I appreciate your insights. Thanks for talking to us.
Sure.
Let's get to some more of our comments from online. We asked a number of you who are business owners to tell us what helps or hurts when it comes to adding jobs. Thang responded, a cutthroat real estate market, failing education systems, skyrocketing tuition costs, discouraging tax environment, and a polarized political mindset in Sacramento that seems to pass legislations controlling practically all aspects of your life. Take your pick. It explains why lots of big companies are shifting to friendlier states like Texas. Bill writes two things. CEQA, in his opinion, is a law without any teeth, and both the public and private sector can easily get around it. It is left to individuals to bring lawsuits to get it enforced. Second, California cannot support the growth that jobs bring to the state. Water, infrastructure, education, etc., have been declining with the growth of population. We are losing prime agricultural land to companies that don't provide a majority of our citizens with a better standard of living. We don't need Facebook, Twitter, or Apple. We need food, water, and shelter. Mariana writes, we are in the middle of a drought, and California is already overpopulated. We do not need to be attracting more population and growth. Let's go back to the phones now with Wendy in Berkeley. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm a woman business owner, and it's a manufacturing company. We manufacture figure skates. Right
figure
now,
skates.
The manufacturing is taking place.
Wait. You can't just speed past that. You manufacture figure skates?
Avanta skating boots. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
I'm sure I knew that somebody had to make figure skates, but I didn't know it was a Berkeley bit. Cool. Okay, now that I'm done geeking out over figure skates, what's on your mind?
All right. So right now, they're being manufactured in Tennessee. We are considering moving the plant to Texas, and I've just been listening to the conversation, and I am curious as to what your panel would say. Give me an argument for considering California.
Wow, Wendy, I'm really sorry that I cut Dorothy Rothrock off, because she would have been the right person to answer this question, but let me see if I can put this to maybe Jim Wunderman and Stephen Levy in that order. Jim, what would you say to Wendy?
Well, I think California offers, as Kish Rajan pointed out, a lot of advantages. We have a great workforce. There is, you know, it's a great place to do business with incredible companies. And, you know, the economy of California has really picked up quite a bit. And so I think there's, you know, you can take advantage of the momentum of businesses actually coming here. In terms of manufacturing, and I agree with Dorothy, you know, we're doing okay, but only 2% compared to 7%. So we want to be able to pick that up. So we need to do some things better. But, you know, investing in California for Californians is a good idea. And once you're in the business, it gives us an opportunity to have more leverage on getting some of those rules on the labor side where, you know, there are some extremely burdensome rules on land use and other things in place. So, you know, there's something about this state being so great that we want our people to support it. And, you know, Texas has some advantages in other parts of the country, but ultimately, you know, we want you to bring your business to California, and then we'll all help come together to make the experience a successful one for business.
And by the way, Wendy, that organization Dorothy Rothrock is involved with is the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. They might be able to make an additional case to you as to why to stay here. Stephen Levy, what do you make of Wendy's question?
You need to play the hand that you're dealt. This is a high housing cost, high land cost, high wage state. Those activities that are going on with the auto companies in Tennessee are paying $14 to $18 an hour to start. The Google and Facebook bus drivers just won a wage pack that's $20 to $24 an hour. California cannot be what it can't be, which is a low-wage manufacturing state. On the other hand, your callers who just went through that litany of complaints, we added 1 million jobs. We took 500,000 people off the unemployment roll. It is counterfactual to say that jobs are fleeing to Texas and Florida. If that was true, we would not have added 1 million jobs in the past 2 years, gotten $6 out of every $10 of venture capital funding. So let's concentrate on the things that that growth has brought in terms of challenges. Not enough housing. I agree with Jim about CEQA, but there's also NIMBY stuff in cities that prevent housing. We need to keep our transportation infrastructure up. Everybody approaches this discussion as if the target was a business, but there's a second target, which is the worker and her or his family.
Right.
When they come here, they want to know that they're good schools, that they can get a house that they can afford, that they can get to work without an hour and a half commute each way. We compete for people as well as companies. And I'd be interested to hear more from Jim, because I know the Bay Area Council is a huge advocate for housing and transportation and infrastructure investment.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well,
I'm sorry. You know, Susan Frank, go ahead.
I just wanted to chime in quickly on Dorothy's comments. You know, it's really important that people realize that California has added manufacturing jobs for the last 4 consecutive years. That hasn't happened in decades. We're also the home of advanced manufacturing, and all due respect to Dorothy's organization, they're primarily focused on large-scale national manufacturing. So we have to look at the manufacturing numbers in the context. And the last thing I would say to the caller with the roller skates is we've got fabulous weather, and this is a great way to bring your alternative transportation technology to California as well.
You know, to that point, and it's figure skates, not roller skates, just to be clear. To that point that you just made, Susan, John wrote us by email, a year ago, my wife 300-person manufacturing company moved to the Bay Area from the Northeast because of the strict regulation in California. Their products leverage the strict environmental regulations here, for example, Title 24, to make housing products for the future. They see California as a laboratory where they can develop products that anticipate stricter regulations around the country while making profits today. Jim Wunderman, did you want to respond to what Stephen Levy has said?
Well, you know, all good points. I think on Susan's comment on advanced manufacturing, we're about to come out with a study. Our Economic Institute will produce that in a couple of months, which will really get into the issues around what's happened in advanced manufacturing and what we can expect. And it is actually a pretty good story, although we want to do everything to make it as good as possible for the future. So there are some issues that need to be addressed to encourage this, but the, you know, we have a lot of potential in that area. One of the callers made a comment about we have enough people already, and I'd like to I can't see your listeners, but raise your hand if you came to California rather than were born here. And I suspect
I'm raising mine. Yeah.
There you go. And a lot, you know, this typically happens. So I think shutting down the state to more people when we had the opportunity to come here is not the right answer. I think Stephen is very, very on point that we need to make our proper investments in our education systems, in our infrastructure, and in our housing supply to enable to have to provide this quality of life to folks who are here, their children, people who want to come here, and at the same time create an environment where more companies, small, medium, and large, will produce jobs, quality jobs, at all levels of the income scale so that California can go on and continue to grow its economy and be seen nationally and globally as a great place to do business and thrive.
Let's get back to the phones now. 866-733-6786. Ram in Palo Alto, you've been waiting very patiently. Ram, good morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a startup founder and a venture capitalist in the Bay Area. And one thing that I haven't heard your panelists mention, and in fact, some of them sound so content and copacetic about how much VC money is flowing into California and in Bay Area. The one thing that I hear a lot nowadays is about the personal taxation rates, and at a top rate of almost 52-53%, a lot of the good hires, a lot of the employees are saying, you know, we don't want to work in California. We want to work somewhere else where the taxes are a little bit more bearable. And given how virtual companies are becoming the norm now, you really don't need to be here to build great companies. That's something that we should keep in mind, that the taxes here are so burdensome. A lot of good people don't want to come, and they're the ones who start companies and create more jobs and buy other services that are not as portable out of California.
Ram, that's a good point on taxation in California. Thank you for the call. Let's continue on the phones with Anne in Mountain View. Anne, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for letting me comment. I have a question, too. I read that 50 years ago, the percent of people who owned their own businesses was a lot greater than now. And my own experience is that we need rules that are more friendly to micro-businesses and that allow people to incorporate with the advantages of corporation, but to grow more organically, kind of the equivalent of small claims court in the law, because there's so many rules now that are just outright unfriendly to home-based businesses, for example, any kind of micro-business, including privacy issues, the taxes, all the compliance issues. You can't even have an inactive corporation and learn as you go. And if we had friendly rules for micro-businesses, it would help young people and traditionally advantaged groups like the disabled, who really are underemployed, move into business and learn as they go. I mean, you can fail more safely. And we have all this new technology that allows all this new opportunity, but the rules are so unfriendly to microbusiness that it's not really happening. And I think the more people who understand how business works mm-hmm. and understand how to run a business, of course, the more successful businesses we will eventually have. So I was wondering if your guests could tell me what organizations or entities are interested in creating a more friendly environment for microbusinesses.
And that's a good question. And Jim Wunderman, I see you shaking your head. Does that mean that there really aren't any who are focusing on particularly small businesses, the smallest of the small businesses?
Well, there are a number of small business associations. You could check with the Small Business Network in San Francisco. I think has a lot of information about that. The California Chamber of Commerce would have a lot of information available on that. And, you know, I would say that what's true for micro business is true for business in general. This is a fairly regulated place. And while we're doing very, very well right now, it's no time for complacency. And we are still a state where business leaders of all businesses of all sizes, like I was shaking my head for a moment, they tend to do that too when these subjects come up. So we want to take maximum advantage of the opportunity that we have and the momentum that we've built while we can, when times are good. This is a period of national economic growth. Dollar is very strong. There's a lot good that's happening. But this was a very different conversation a few years ago when California was struggling and leading the country in the recession in many ways. And we need to now avoid heaping on additional regulations while we think carefully, and the caller makes a great point on microbusinesses, advantage ourselves of every opportunity in every sector across the board so that we can provide for workers and businesses to be successful here.
Let's get back to a few more emails. One listener writes, the reason Tesla built their Gigafactory in Nevada to make batteries is because that's where the raw material is. It makes more sense to manufacture close to the raw material than shipping it elsewhere. Joe in Oakland writes, any actions to improve our economy to provide better outcomes for all of our people should be mindful that the many problems like the drought and the environment and other issues of sustainability are exacerbated by higher population, whether by birth rate or immigration. Policies which do not discourage population growth are short-sighted. This issue is generally ignored. Sarah writes, CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, only comes into play when a company wants to erect a new building. Much of the business expansion and economic development in California has not required new buildings. Perhaps CEQA stands not as an obstacle in the way of progress, but instead as an incentive for businesses to use infill development, as opposed to sprawling and spreading out our cities wider, expanding our commute times and traffic congestion. And a tweet from Omnivore Book says, what hinders us from adding jobs is that none of our employees can afford to live in San Francisco, and BART stops at midnight. Susan, let me put that to you. Susan Frank, it seems like it'll constantly be a moving target, trying to create regulations that both support our environment and support our economy, because as the economy grows, the population grows. As the population grows and becomes more affluent, the demands on the environment grow, so the regulations have to change. It sounds like it's just kind of a never-ending cycle, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's the nature of our world. I mean, I was in the Chamber of Commerce business in the 90s, and we were having the same conversation then that we're having now, which was overregulation. There was ups and downs in the 90s. Businesses came and went. I mean, there are certainly some differences because we've seen the Googles and the Facebooks and the Teslas and the tremendous growth in solar power and new technologies. So I think the beauty of California is that we always seem to adapt to the environment that we're in. We find ways to move ahead, to succeed, to take advantage of these new technologies and new companies and microbusinesses. You know, there, I will say to the person asking about microbusiness, I have heard of an association called the California Association for Micro Enterprise Opportunity. You can find them online. And then the other thing I wanted to mention about Tesla, the comment about the raw materials. I mean, the reason Tesla moved to Nevada, which is my home state, I might add, is because they were offered tremendous tax incentives. It's still unclear whether those tax incentives are going to pay off for the state of Nevada. Meanwhile, California is booming without necessarily providing the same level of tax incentives to companies like that, and Tesla's still here. So it is an ebb and flow, and it is a balancing act, and you know, I'm not saying it's all wine and roses, and clearly Jim and many of my colleagues who are still in the chamber world know that there are improvements that we have to make to our regulatory environment, to our business environment.
Right.
But there's a lot of good news, and too often I think we're not talking about the good news. So I'm glad today is really about that.
Well, we've got a few more minutes left in the hour. Let's try to get to a few more calls. Hardy in Santa Rosa. Hardy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to comment sort of on small businesses, and we hear a lot of rhetoric about it, and everyone's all for small businesses. But the reality is that with regulations and costs, I mean, I don't have, you know, I own a small business, and I don't have the millions upon millions of dollars that Google can throw around for fun, and I don't have, you know, $20 to $30 an hour to pay a bus driver. And, you know, it's just every year it's harder and harder to do business, and everyone talks about small businesses, but I don't really see anybody doing anything about small businesses. And so it's, you know, like I said, it's great that Google and Tesla have billions of dollars, but for those of us who are just on the upper end of the middle class, you know, we're looking at, well, I'm not expanding, I'm not going to add employees, and I'm not going to really do anything anymore in the state because the state doesn't really care about small business.
I hear you. Hardy, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Joseph in Danville. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning. I was just responding to the caller that called about moving her manufacturing business to Northern California. And, you know, one of the things about being here for my company, too, is that you find a lot of innovative people. I mean, it's great that they're making ice skates and they're doing very well at it. But, you know, maybe there is a idea of bringing in rollerblades or finding some other creative way to expand their company. And the kind of people that you find in Northern California that, you know, support that, I find very different from anywhere else, almost anywhere else in the country.
Thanks for that, Joseph. Appreciate the call. Jim Wunderman, that I wonder if that's kind of the final word about all this. I mean, we got an email from Adam in San Francisco who suggests that, you know, the challenge we're having is just partly born of the popularity of our region, regulation notwithstanding. California is just a place people want to be. And that's, you know, you're not going to say California or Texas. They're just too, they're not even comparable, are they?
They're not. You know, we have groups from all over the country and all over the world visiting us on a weekly basis asking, how do we bring Silicon Valley back to our state or our country? The answer is you probably can't. The innovation ecosystem that exists in the Bay Area and in California is unique. And we're very, very fortunate to have that. And that enables us to do things that other folks can't do. And all we need to do is build on that and make sure that we don't we take advantage of every opportunity, don't regulate ourselves out of the opportunity.
That's Jim Wunderman, President and CEO of the Bay Area Council. Jim, glad to have you on.
Thanks.
Stephen Levy, the Director and Senior Economist at the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. Stephen, thanks for spending the hour with us.
Thank you.
And Susan Frank, the Director of the California Business Alliance for a Clean Economy. Susan, thank you.
Thank you.
Forum is produced by Irene Noguchi, Judy Campbell, Tina Laubert, and Susan Britton. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai with online help from David Marks. The engineer is Danny Bringer. Our amazing interns are Megan Sussman and Nunu Teo. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.